Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Ready? See if you can identify these 5 clips in the order that they're played. It could be from a song, a movie, a TV show, or something else. But if it's coming from this podcast, then you know that it's from Generation X. Listen closely. Good luck.
What the hell are you?
It's great to learn,
'cause knowledge is power.
Hello, and welcome to Who Will Save Generation X? A trivia game show that's dedicated to remembering, celebrating, and preserving all the wonderful qualities of Generation X through games, trivia, and friends. I am Xavier, host, and today we have 2 great contestants ready to compete for the ultimate slacker prize and in the process do their part to save Generation X from being forgotten. Are you ready to do your part? Please play along with the contestants while you listen and see what rad prize you would have wanted if you were here with us saving Generation X from fading into oblivion. We're so happy that you've chosen to join us, and I'm sure you're going to get a nice dose of nostalgia and maybe a few laughs along the way. So if everyone's ready, let's start the show. I'm very excited to welcome 2 first-time guests to the show as we share our memories of life growing up during Generation X. There's something here for everyone, I hope. But if you like reminiscing about the TV shows Good Time and Scooby-Doo, or movies like The Empire Strikes Back and Lost Boys, then this is one episode you might especially like.
Especially like.
We're going to save the pop culture nostalgia of Generation X from being forgotten today with these 2 entertainment professionals. Let's give a very quick hello to each of them now. Let's first welcome to the show a first-time guest who is a professional tattoo artist at NakedArtTattoos.com and is the lead singer of a rockabilly band out of Baltimore, Maryland called Pepper Pot Bats. Please welcome to the show, Eddie McIntosh. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Fantastic. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm feeling like the underdog today, but, you know, if little Matt can beat Mike Tyson, we'll see if something can happen, you know?
Well, so often on the show is the person that feels that they're going to get beat on the episode ends up winning. So
don't believe a word he just said.
I don't know, man. Going one-to-one, you know, with a professional stand-up comedian is not my list of ego-boosting things over the years, you know?
Oh, I might be funnier than you, but you're going to wipe the floor up with me.
I don't believe it, man. I don't believe it. I think you got this.
Well, Eddie, there's no points for comedy on the show, so I think you're going to be fine. Let's also welcome to the show Eddie's buddy, a Gen Xer, who is a co-creator, executive producer, and star of the comedy TV series available on Amazon, YouTube, and other streaming platforms. The show is called Thespian. Please welcome Mark Unger. Thanks for being on the show, Mark.
Absolutely. I'm excited. Gen X, us. Yes.
Mark, you're saying something about being on the different spectrums of Gen X timeline here with Eddie.
Well, yeah. I mean, Eddie's like 12 years younger than me. We're both Gen X, but I'm like right on the comos between baby boomer and Gen X. And Eddie, you're like, well, no, you're pretty solid Gen X, but almost leaning more towards whatever the next group of losers.
The Xennial subgroup of
I think it'll be interesting to see what questions are like easy for me and what questions are easy for Eddie just based on that 12-year difference in our age, especially when it comes to stuff like kid shows.
Right.
Because my kid shows are like early days of Sesame Street. Eddie's kid shows are like what, like Blue's Clues or something? I don't even know.
I think he's too old for Blue's Clues.
I think I was more like a Nickelodeon kid, but I was raised by my grandparents, man. I watched like soap operas.
Oh, right. Yeah, right.
That and Lawrence Welk, right?
Yeah.
You know, and something else that might be interesting to your listeners, you know, because it's such a Gen X show, is, you know, I was a guest star on an episode of Friends.
Oh, wow.
Which can't get more Gen X than Friends.
You guys might be of different ends of the spectrum, but one thing we all have in common is that we're all old. So let's just move on with the show.
Sure.
Before we start the show, let's give a quick overview of how we play the game. The show is broken up into three rounds of trivia and games. Whoever has the most points at the end of round three will win a chance at today's Rad Slacker Prize. Mark, what episode of Friends were you on?
It's called The One with the Cat. I locked Joey in an entertainment center and stole all their stuff.
But what did you do on the show, though?
I locked Joey in an entertainment center and stole all their stuff.
Okay.
My character's name was The Thief.
Such creativity on the show, Friends. The One with the Cat, and your character was named The Thief.
Yes. Brilliance all around.
Hand him the Emmy right now. Okay, let's move on.
The power.
Struggle.
In the opening of the episode, you heard five quick clips from Generation X. The game is called The Power Struggle, and in this game, you need to name those five clips in the order that they were played. At any time during the episode, contestants can interrupt the game and declare that they want to solve the power struggle question. They only get one chance to answer it correctly, and if they are correct, then they instantly steal the power away from their opponent. And as an added wrinkle to the game, if you solve the power struggle, you will be awarded a whopping 20 bonus points. We'll play the clip a couple of times during the episode, so listen closely, especially to the second clip. It goes by really quickly. And let's see if you can solve the power struggle. We're going to jump right into round one now and get the games rolling.
Round one.
Most game shows wait for their final round to bust out a lightning round. But since we are Gen Xers, we like to make up our own rules. And we're going to start with a lightning round. We call this game, What the Blank?
What the fuck?
Blank.
The game is that I have a list of fill-in-the-blank statements that I will read to you. And you'll have 69 seconds to come up with as many correct answers as you can within the time limit. You'll score 1 point for each correct answer. If you get stuck, say pass, and we'll come back to it if there's enough time. Each list has a theme and a total of 10 fill-in-the-blank statements. At the end, for each unanswered fill-in-the-blank, your opponent will get a chance to answer them and steal whatever points are remaining. So don't leave anything on the board. The winner of round one will be awarded the power.
The power.
Which allows the player who has it to make all the choices in the game first and wins all ties for as long as they control the power. We plugged in the old Atari backstage, and the only cartridge we could get to work was the game The Empire Strikes Back. So we played one round to see who goes first. And Eddie remembered that you had to shoot the AT-ATs from behind and not from head on, and was able to blow them up with no problem. Eddie, you get to start us off on What the Blank by picking one of the two themes available to you. Whichever one you don't pick will go to your opponent. Here's your two you have to pick from. Will you choose William Michael Albert Broad, or will you pick Greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey?
Greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Okay. All of the following 10 fill-in-the-blanks will be song titles from Bruce Springsteen. This one is a little more difficult of the two, I think. Let's put 69 seconds on the clock. Remember, if you get stuck, say pass, and we'll come back to it if there's enough time. Small fun if you fill in the blank with a dirty word. What the blank? All right, here we go. Thunder blank.
Road.
Born to blank.
Born to run.
Blank heart.
Hungry. Hometown, sorry.
Did you say hungry?
Yes, hungry. Yes, I had to think the lyrics.
Right. Blanking in the dark.
Dancing.
Blank on fire.
I'm.
Secret blank.
Garden.
Born in the blank, blank, blank.
USA.
Blank of Philadelphia.
Streets.
The blank.
Rising.
Glory blank. Small fire if you fill in the blank with a dirty
word. Days.
Going back to the one you passed on. The blank. Oh, out of time. Sorry, Eddie.
No idea.
Mark, can you get the one that he missed? Your clue is the blank.
Well, there is a song, The Rising, so I don't really know. I mean, to me, it seems like that would be acceptable.
It is unacceptable because it's not on our list. These are all the most popular songs by Bruce Springsteen. So
The Beach.
The Beach? Is it The Beach, judges? It's incorrect.
I meant to say The Motorcycle.
The River was the one we were looking for.
Oh. The River.
That was next to the beach.
Right. Can we all agree that that was really easy?
Well, it gets a lot easier because you have the category William Michael Albert Broad, a.k.a. Billy Idol.
Okay.
The following 10 fill-in-the-blanks will all be song titles from Billy Idol.
Does he have 10?
Well, we're going to find out if you know 10 here in a second.
Are five of them going to be Billy Joel?
Wrong Billy.
Okay.
If you get stuck, say pass, and we'll come back to it if there's enough time. Let's put 69 seconds on the board. All right, here we go. Blank yell.
A rebel.
Blanking with myself. Small fire if you fill in the blank with a
dirty word. Dancing.
Blank wedding.
White.
Blank for fantasy.
Flesh.
Eyes blank a face.
Without.
Blank my fall.
Break.
Blank in the city.
Oh, I know this one in the city. Pass.
To be a blank.
Pass.
Blanky blank.
Money, money.
Blank of love.
Cradle. A cradle.
Judges, did he get it in time? We're going to give it to you. Okay, Eddie, you get two chances to score some extra bonus points.
Okay.
What is blank my fall?
Is it catch my fall? I actually don't know. Is it?
Yep, correct. You were able to figure it out. But you did say I don't know.
Oh.
But we're going to give it to you. And then finally, you also have the opportunity for blank in the city.
Hot in the city.
That is correct. Yeah. Well done.
That's actually a really good song, too.
That's a great song, yeah.
So, Mark, you were saying something about him having an easier one, or what? I can't remember.
No, they're both pretty easy.
Yeah. Robin, tell us who has the most points.
Eddie still has the most points. He got himself up to 11 with those bonuses, but Mark's just behind him with 8.
So, Eddie, congratulations. You win round one, and that means you have the power.
The power is yours.
Excellent.
Before we start round two, let's take a moment to better meet our contestants. The judges are the gatekeepers of all things Gen X here on the show. And to that end, they are requesting to know from our contestants about their Gen X credentials. That is, apart from being born between 1965 and 1980, what qualifies you to claim yourself as part of Generation X and what might potentially disqualify you from being Gen X? Welcome to the show, Eddie McIntosh. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and please include your Gen X qualifiers and potential disqualifiers.
Sure. My name is Eddie McIntosh. I'm a professional tattoo artist, rockabilly musician. My Gen X qualifiers. My first concert was actually Huey Lewis and the News.
Nice.
I grew up in Baltimore, but I spent most of my summers in Nova Scotia, Canada, kind of a rural small town part. So my 1980s was almost like two decades long. Like 1994 in Nova Scotia was very much like 1987 in Baltimore, you know, so there was a little bit of an extended 80s culture. My band opened for Corey Feldman.
Nice.
Now, oh, wow. Prior to what he's doing now, he used to have a thing called the Truth Movement, which was like his more edgier metal thing. I'm not going to say anything about him as a character, but every time I watch The Lost Boys, I root for the vampires.
Good night, bloodsucker.
And what are your disqualifiers?
Disqualifiers, being raised by my grandparents, anytime we went to anything like an amusement park or anything like that, we just saw the shows, you know, the shows.
You watched the parade.
So, yeah, like I've never been on a roller coaster. I never learned how to swim. So like the Jaws paranoia was not really like a thing for me. You know, it was more just watching my friends talk about it. I never got into the horror movie stuff, the 80s horror movie stuff that my friends were really into. So a lot of that stuff, like I know a lot of the cultural references just because it's become like there's been a big resurgence in like 80s horror. Like they're starting to make movies even are like filmed right. Like that now. But that whole culture was like lost to me. I was, you know, terrified of that kind of stuff when I was a kid. I still don't like horror movies. But even the 80s stuff, yeah, just did not grow up with that. I was never scared of Jason or Freddy or anything like that. So I kind of missed that whole part of growing up.
Well, you didn't have to know how to swim to be scared of Jaws. I remember taking a bath and being scared that Jaws was going to come up through the plumbing and get me after seeing that movie. So thanks for being here, Eddie.
Thank you for having me.
Also, please welcome to the show, Mark Unger. Mark, please tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, and please give us your Gen X qualifiers and potential disqualifiers.
Well, I am a filmmaker. I've been a comedian for about 30 years. I am an actor, a writer in the arts for all of my adult life. As far as my qualifiers, well, both of my parents were alcoholics, so I think that's a very Gen X thing. And we survived on Jack in the Box a lot of nights. Again, very Gen X. I owned a pair of gray parachute pants with lots of pockets. I also had skinny leather green ties, and I've probably danced to I'll Stop the World and Melt with You more times than John Cusack has. I think those are definite qualifiers. I remember both black and white television and color television. As my disqualifiers, I think Pretty in Pink sucks. In fact, I can't think of a John Hughes movie I actually like.
Blasphemer!
I'm not even sure Pretty Big is a John Hughes movie. But that's pretty much the only disqualifier that I can think of is the fact that I'm not really big into, like, Eddie's not into the 80s horror. I wasn't into, like, the 80s teen angst movies. Uh-huh. Except Breakfast Club was great, actually. That's not fair. Breakfast Club's a great movie.
Judges, can we please make sure we get rid of these 16 candles question we have in round two? Okay, thank you. All right, Mark, thanks so much for being here. Judges, do these contestants have the proper credentials to continue to be on the show? It's a little tough with the John Hughes slam, but we're going to let it slide, Mark. But before we start round two, let's take another listen to the power struggle.
Let me show you something.
What the hell are you?
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
Round two.
Round two of this game is called Eight is Enough. In this game, I'll ask a total of 8 questions, 4 to each of our contestants. Points are awarded for each correct answer, 2 points for a complete correct answer, or 1 pity point for a partial correct answer if you can convince the judges for it. Players take turns answering questions with a chance to steal if their opponent answers incorrectly. A steal is worth 1 point, but more importantly, a steal also takes the power away from their opponent. The judges require that all questions must be given an answer, no matter how incorrect it might be. So if you say some form of I don't know here on the show, you will lose a point and get slimed. Whoever has the most points at the end of round two will take a secret trip to the prize vault and choose the prize that you'll be playing for in this episode. Now let's play Eight is Enough. Eddie, you have the power. You get to go first, and you get to pick between these two questions. Will it be, what have you done for me lately, which is a television question? Or will it be, slay your enemies and all that you desire shall be yours, which is a comic book question?
Oh, let's go with the first one, the television question.
What have you done for me lately? We lost American TV legend Norman Lear in December. This guy was responsible for some of the best sitcoms of our generation. All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Sanford and Son, One Day at a Time, and of course, Good Time. Both Esther Rolle and John Amos had exited the show by the end of season 4, which left producers needing to fill out the cast. Here's your question. What child actor was introduced in season 5 playing Penny? Here are your multiple choice options. Is it A, Raven Simone? B, Kim Fields? C, Aaron Blunt? D, Janet Jackson? Or is it E, Baby?
D, Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackson is correct. Well done. Judges, are you sure it wasn't option E, Baby?
No, my first name ain't Baby. It's Janet. Miss Jackson, if you guessed it.
While Good Times was a rating success, Rolle and Amos both spoke critically of the show's writing, particularly when it came to the portrayal of the popular character JJ. This led to the character's exits and a ratings drop for the show. Rolle eventually agreed to return under the conditions that the writing would improve and JJ would show some character growth. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough to save the show, and it ended after 6 seasons. Not very dynamite.
Absolutely.
You've made it, Mark.
Yes.
Speaking of making it, let's see if you can make a correct response to this question. It's called Slay Your Enemies and All That You Desire Shall Be Yours. It's a comic book question. Marvel Comics had a landmark miniseries that brought together some of their greatest heroes versus the greatest villains to battle together on another planet for the amusement of the mysterious and all-powerful character called the Beyonder. What was the name of that miniseries that ran from 1984 all the way to 1985? Here are your multiple choice options. Was it A, Infinity Gauntlet? B, Crisis of Infinite Earths? C, Age of Apocalypse? D, Secret Wars? Or was it E, Super Smash Bros?
I'm just going to guess. I'll go with B. Is that the second answer?
Crisis of Infinite Earths is incorrect. Sorry, that was a DC big crossover miniseries, not the Marvel one that we're looking for. Eddie McIntosh, can you steal this and score 1 point?
Was it Secret Wars?
It was Secret Wars. Well done. While it was a financial success, Secret Wars was not well received by critics when it was published, being criticized for its uninspired and juvenile content, to which I say, eat my shorts, critics. Secret Wars was amazing and one of the best years of comic books ever. I would look forward to seeing that issue come out every month, and I would love to see a live-action MCU version of the series, and I hear that I might get my wish. Let's hope it doesn't suck. Robin, after the first pair of questions, can we get a scoring update?
Eddie has brought his score up to 14. Mark still has 8.
Okay, a little bit of ground for you to make up, Mark. Let's see if you can do it. Eddie, you have the power. You get to pick between these two questions. Will it be Jean-Luc, I Am Your Father, which is a movie question? Or will it be, Do I Feel Lucky? Who Wants a Scooby Snack? That's a television question. The Do I Feel Lucky category means that the question about to be asked is either super easy or very nuanced. You can keep this question for yourself in hopes of getting easy points, or you can pass it to your competitor. It all depends on how lucky you feel.
You've got to ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
So you're going to keep this one or pass it to Mark?
No, I'm going to pass it to Mark.
Okay. So that means you get Jean-Luc, I Am Your Father. Here's your question. There are so many science fiction franchises to choose from, but we all know that Star Wars and Star Trek are the two titans of the genre. Both franchises have a long list of sequels, and fans are always wanting more, just as long as Rian Johnson has nothing to do with either one of them. However, which one is king? Well, I suppose that depends on your opinion and whether or not your opinion is correct. But let's not get into politics. Let's get to the trivia. Here's your question. Which came first, The Empire Strikes Back or Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan?
He tasks me. He tasks me, and I shall have him. I'll chase him round the moons of Nibia and round the Antares maelstrom and round perdition's flames before I give him up.
Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back is correct. Well done. The Empire Strikes Back premiered in 1980, while Star Trek The Wrath of Khan hit theaters in June of 1982. Robin was supposed to write some fun fact here, but unfortunately, she instead spent 2 hours reading a fan analysis on Reddit discussing who would win in a fight, the Enterprise or the Millennium Falcon.
Fascinating.
I only got that because I remember, I think, the Wrath of Khan, he had sort of the mullet hair in the back, and that seemed like they would have been slightly behind.
But not where you grow up. They probably still have mullets there.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely.
So who would win in a fight, guys? The Enterprise or the Millennium Falcon?
Enterprise.
Oh, Millennium Falcon.
Not a chance. Are you kidding? Photon torpedoes and forget about it.
Hyperdrive? Come on, man.
Warp speed?
All those red shirts?
Who do you want? You want Captain Kirk or Han Solo as your command, as your captain? I'll take
Han Solo. Look at the fashion that he's responsible for every fall.
Let's be very clear. There is no real fight between Star Trek and Star Wars, because Star Wars is for 5-year-olds. Ooh. And Star Trek is much more advanced, rich, and better for our planet than Star Wars will ever be.
Except for the tribbles.
Spock, I don't know too much about these little tribbles yet, but there is one thing that I have discovered.
What is that, Doctor?
I like them better than I like you.
Okay, one episode they had some tribbles. But that's even a great episode. What are you talking about? Okay, how about Ewoks? What, are you kidding me?
That's true.
You really want to go down that path? The Return of the Jedi path? No, you don't.
Fair enough.
Star Trek forever.
Mark, to your point, I was a huge Star Wars fan when I was 5, and they did make that movie for me and absolutely loved it. I still love Star Wars to this day. I'm a bigger Star Wars fan than a Star Trek fan. But as I got older, I got to appreciate Star Trek more and more and more. I think there is no chance the Millennium Falcon can take down the Enterprise.
No way.
In a million years. No way. No way. A better question might be the Enterprise versus like a Super Star Destroyer or something like that.
But because, you know what? It does speak to the difference we talked about earlier about both ends of the Gen X spectrum. Because for me as a little kid, when I got home from school, like Star Wars didn't exist. You know, you would watch the reruns of Star Trek.
Right.
But for Eddie, I would imagine Star Wars, that was your kid stuff.
Right.
Star Wars came out when the first one came out when I was like 12, I guess. But by then, I was already indoctrinated into Star Trek. So Star Wars could never compete with Captain Kirk and Spock and, you know, the original series for me.
For me, my next door neighbor was really hairy. So it was really easy for us to do a sort of Chewbacca and Han thing.
Mark, this question is for you. It's the Do I Feel Lucky question. It's called Who Wants a Scooby Snack? Here's your question. Let's see if you can get it. Pretty difficult. What was the name of the hot box? The van in Scooby-Doo.
Zoinks! The Mystery Machine.
Mystery Machine is correct. Well done.
Thank you. Love Scooby-Doo.
For sure. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Was created in 1969 as part of a CBS plan to create a nonviolent Saturday morning program that would appease the parents of watch groups that had protested the superhero-based programs of the time. Ironically, these same parents would love the anti-drug movements that kicked in about 10 years later. Scooby Snacks for the win, guys.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo!
Robin, let's get a scoring update.
Mark now has 10 points. Eddie's still ahead, though, with 16.
Still a big lead. Eddie, you still have the power? Remember you saying that part about losing so bad and you got this big lead, so...
No, don't get me into that, man. That's the way the NFL goes, you know? This is the halftime meltdown. You never know.
No, smooth sailing from here on out. There's nothing that can possibly stop you. Come on.
That jinx just did it. I can feel it.
We'll see. You have the power. You get to pick between these two questions. Will it be Nakatomi Plaza is the main character, which is a movie question, or will it be Cinema Soundcheck, which is a head-to-head challenge?
Nakatomi Plaza.
Okay. It's hard to imagine now, but when Die Hard first came out, Alan Rickman was an unknown and Bruce Willis was mainly known as the comedic lead on Moonlighting. Without a clear and definite star to put on the posters, the marketing team instead chose to feature the building in their ads. It's truly insane to think that Hans Gruber wasn't on the original poster, but Nakatomi Plaza was. Speaking of Hans, before John McClane showed up and screwed up his plans, how much money was he trying to steal from the building's vaults? Here's your multiple choice. Was it A, $600 million? B, $250 million? C, $100 million? Or is it D, 69?
69, dudes!
Million dollars.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with B.
$250 million is incorrect. Yeah. Mark, here's a golden opportunity for you to score a point and steal the power. Is it A, $600 million? B, $250 million? That was Eddie's wrong answer. C, $100 million? Or D, $69 million? Don't sleep on $69 million.
I'm going with C.
C, $100 million is incorrect. I'm sorry, Mark.
When I said C, what I meant was A, though.
Judges, can we give it to him? I'm sorry. All right. I appealed for you, Mark. I'm sorry. Nope. Guys, you were lowballing it. Alan Rickman had his sights set on $600 million from the movie vault.
Why'd you have to nuke the whole building, Hans?
Well, when you steal $600, you can't just disappear. When you steal $600 million, they will find you unless they think you're already dead.
I thought back then $600 million didn't even exist.
Right.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was going to be like $5 million, you know?
Right. I forgot that they actually had $600 million back then.
That yeah. Christmas party should have been much better.
Right. Yeah, at least have a band, right?
Yeah.
And if I was going to have a band, I would have hired Pepper Pot Bats to come play my party.
Yeah, man. I would have been like 7 or 8, but yeah. Yeah.
Fly them out from Baltimore, Maryland and have a go.
There you go.
The next question is called Cinema Soundcheck. This is a head-to-head challenge. Mark, you get to start us off with this question. For this question, I will give you the title tracks of a musical score of a popular movie from Generation X, and you need to tell me the title of the movie that it's from. Movie scores are usually instrumentals with obscure titles, and that should give you the hints that you need to name the movie. We will go back and forth between each player, will give me a new movie title on each turn. Points will be awarded to the player that gets it correct on their turn. There are 8 track titles on the list, and the number of points you will receive for a correct answer will match the number of songs revealed. So, for example, if you get the movie title correct on song 3, then you'll get 3 points, song 4, 4 points, and so forth, all the way up to as many as 8 points on the final track. Mark, you start. Song 1 is a track title called Opening Theme. Which movie was that from?
Chariots of Fire.
Chariots of Fire? What? Incorrect. Eddie, you get song 2. Song 2 is called New Mission. So what is New Mission and Opening Theme have in common?
Police Academy.
I love that guess. It's incorrect, but I love it. Mark, back to you. Song 3 is called Whose Side Are You On? So we have Whose Side Are You On, New Mission, and Opening Theme.
Spies Like Us.
Spies Like Us is incorrect. I like the thought process, though. Here we go, Eddie. This one might give it away. Let's find out. Song 4 is called Flat Spin. So we have Flat Spin, Whose Side Are You On, New Mission, and Opening.
Quicksilver.
Incorrect.
Oh, man.
I mean, I guess things spun in Quicksilver, but yeah, you know, they didn't spin flatly, though. Mark, song 5, worth 5 points if you can get it. It's called Negative G Pushover.
I don't think of this necessarily as a Gen X movie, but I'm going to go with it anyway. Mission Impossible.
You are correct that it is not a Gen X movie. It is incorrect. Eddie, back to you. Song 6. This will be a huge lead if you can get it. The song was titled MiG-28s. So we have MiG-28s, Negative G Pushover, Flat Spin, Whose Side Are You On, New Mission, Opening Theme. Put them all together and you get?
The Top Gun score?
Top Gun is correct. Well done. That's 6 whopping points for you, Eddie.
I think I kind of forget that there's a score to that. I just think about Kenny Loggins, you know? Like,
it was hard to find the actual song titles for this score. Because everyone wants to talk about Berlin and Kenny Loggins.
Yeah, if the score was like homoerotic volleyball scene, then I would be like, yes, I get it. That's
where the boys are, man.
Yeah, yeah, playing with the boys.
Playing with the boys, whatever.
I mean, I don't remember.
Yeah, I have no idea what, I didn't really watch that part. I was kind of, you know, I was sneaking in my beer in the theater at that time.
Yeah, that's cool.
So here's all the song titles for those playing at home. We had Opening Theme, New Mission, Whose Side Are You On, Flat Spin, Negative G Pushover, MiG-28s. Song 7 was Goodbye Goose.
Ouch.
Yeah, little on the nose there. And if you didn't get it by then, Song 8 was Top Gun Anthem. Here's the fun fact. Composer Harold Faltermeyer busted out his synthesizer to make many of the original scores in beloved Gen X movies. Beverly Hills Cop, Fletch, The Running Man, and of course Top Gun were all his babies. However, he got some help from lead guitarist Steve Stevens when he did the iconic theme from Top Gun. It comes full circle in this episode because Steve Stevens is more famous for his work as Billy Idol's lead guitarist and songwriting partner. His fans will recognize his name, but every Gen Xer will recognize his work. And for that, we should all think that Steve Stevens is wonderful, wonderfuls. That was hilarious.
You suck.
Let's go get a scoring update.
Mark still has 10, but Eddie has 22.
Okay, now it just feels like we're just rubbing it in. Like, can we just say Eddie's winning? Can we just do that?
Eddie, you have doubled up on Mark on the points, but let's see if you can keep it going. The game's not over yet, Mark. Don't hang your head. Oh. There's still plenty of points left to score. Eddie, you get to pick between these two questions. Will it be Frankenstein is not hot, which is a movie question, or will it be Name That Auto-Tune Head-to-Head Challenge?
Do the Name That Auto-Tune Head-to-Head Challenge.
Okay.
Name that auto-tune. The judges are terrible performers. Name that auto-tune with awful favorite Jackson.
For this question, the judges will perform parts of a popular Gen X song, and you have to give me the title and artist of the song. The catch here is that the judges are terrible performers, and they'll be also using an awful fake British accent to make things sound more confusing and silly than are necessary. There are a total of 3 songs that you'll take turns answering, with the regular rules applying for stealing the power as well as stealing points. So that means that this question could potentially be worth up to 5 points to one of you, so anything can still happen. We'll give you a hint to try and help you by letting you know the year that the song was released, as well as the genre that the song belongs to, according to the internet. That last bit may or may not help you.
So anything can still happen.
Eddie, here's song one. You need to give me artist and title to this song from 1987, and it is listed as a rock song, according to the interwebs.
So never judge a book by its cover, or who you gonna love by your lover. Saying, love put me wise to her love in disguise. She had the body of a Venus. Lord, imagine my surprise.
It's Love in an Elevator by Aerosmith.
Is it Love in the Elevator by Aerosmith? That is incorrect.
No? Oh, man, I know what it is now.
Okay. Don't say it out loud because Mark has a chance to steal. Mark, artist and title, do you want to hear it one more time?
Please.
So never judge a book by its cover, or who you gonna love by your lover. Saying, love put me wise to her love in disguise. She had the body of a Venus. Lord, imagine my surprise.
It is not Love in an Elevator.
Oh, gosh, I know this. And he said 1987, right?
1987.
And he said Aerosmith. It's not Love in an Elevator. It's not Janie's Got a Gun.
Janie might have a gun.
Know what I mean? Know what I mean? Nuts, know what I mean? Say no more.
Oh, this is crushing me.
Dude, you got this.
I don't. I'll get it. As soon as you tell me what it is, I will 100% know what it is.
Come on, dude.
Imagine my surprise.
Judges, how long are we going to let this dude hang on the wind like this? Should we just buzz him or no? Just the judges tell me they need to get an answer from you.
I'm going to go with Janie's Got a Gun.
Janie's Got a Gun is incorrect. You were right. It's not that. I try to help you there, Mark, by calling you dude several times.
Yeah, me too.
Let's hear the reveal. Sorry, Mark. I know you were tortured by that one.
It was a huge, huge comeback album for them. Huge. Right.
Well, let's listen to the fun fact. The band was hesitant to record this song as they didn't want to come off as offensive to the LGBTQ community. They didn't want to come off as some jackass rock stars making fun of someone different than themselves. Legendary songwriter Desmond Child just so happened to be working with them at the time and told them, quote, okay, I'm gay and I don't feel insulted by this song. Let's write it. Without Desmond Child, it's doubtful the song would ever have been made. But really, there's another man who should take most of the credit, Vince Neil of Motley Crue. Lead singer Steven Tyler first got the idea for the song because they had gone to a bar and seen this girl at the end of the bar with ginormous blonde rock hair. And the girl turned around and it ended up being Vince Neil from Motley Crue. So they started making fun of him and said, dude looks like a lady. Hey, song two is for you, Eddie. Is listed as a hard rock song from 1980. Artist and title to this song right here.
Back in the back of a Cadillac, number one with a bullet. I'm a power pack. Yes, I'm in a bang with a gang. They've got to catch me if they want me to hang.
Back in Black, AC/DC.
Judges, is it Back in Black by AC/DC? That's two more points for you, Eddie.
Cool.
Even if you're not a fan of hard rock music, this song's guitar riff is one of the most recognized in hard rock history. Not many bands could have survived the multiple lineup changes and tragedies that AC/DC overcame. It is a testament to AC/DC's talent and longevity that this song came out as their eighth studio release. They kept getting better over time. Our newsies, hats off to you, AC/DC. Well done. Okay, and here's the last song. Mark, this one's for you. It is from 1983, and it belongs to the rock genre as well, according to Google.
I know it.
I hope that helps, but it probably doesn't.
Mark doesn't know the song.
Okay, let's give the judge's version a listen.
Do I want to go out with a lion's roar? Yeah, I want to go south and get me some more. Hey, they say that a stitch in time saves nine. They say I better stop or I'll go blind.
You said it was a rock song?
No, I didn't say it's a rock song. Google says it's a rock song.
And what year was it?
1983. I'm going to cheat for you for a little bit, Mark. This is definitely a pop song.
Okay. Well, everything in 83 was a pop song, pretty much.
Let's listen to it one more time.
Do I want to go out with a lion's roar? Yeah, I want to go south and get me some more. Hey, they say that a stitch in time saves nine. They say I better stop or I'll go blind.
What do you got, Mark?
Blinded Me with Science.
That is incorrect. Eddie, you get a chance to steal.
Oof. Given what it sounds like the subject matter is it Turning Japanese by the Vapors?
Judges, is it? Let's reveal it and find out. Yes, that was She-Bop by She-Bop. Cyndi Lauper. You were on the right idea there, Eddie.
I know what I know.
Here's a fun fact. Record company executives wanted you to think that this song was about dancing, but Gen X knew better. It's about masturbating. Unfortunately, the PMRC was not fooled either and listed this song in their Filthy 15 songs that they wanted to have censored during the Senate hearings of the 1980s. Having a song listed in the Filthy 15 backfired and helped the sales of all the songs listed except this one. Sure, Prince can sing about women masturbating in his song Darling Nikki, but when a woman sings about it in She-Bop, the record company shies away from promoting the song. Unfortunately, double standards were everywhere in the 80s for women, but we here on the podcast salute Cyndi Lauper for her pioneering spirit in songwriting and choosing to sing about controversial topics of the era.
Oh, Cyndi Lauper's awesome.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. The TikTok generation have a different meaning for the word bop than the Gen Xers do. Over the past decade or so, the word has become synonymous with a song that makes you want to dance. Seems those record producers in the 80s did fool some people after all, but we know what bop really means. Here are some of the actual quotes from some popular musical artists we found that might confuse Gen X. Someone wrote, Harry Styles, he's the king of bops. Beyonce is the dictionary definition of bops. And Taylor Swift, she is overflowing with bops. All of these artists can tip their hat to Cyndi Lauper, who was bopping before bopping was cool. Mark, here's your last chance to score points in the round. It's called Frankenstein is Not Hot. It's a movie question. With his cult masterpiece, The Lost Boys, Joel Schumacher helped shift depictions of vampires to the youthful and sexy version that is popular today. He called his then relatively unknown cast one of the greatest casts in the world and credits the movie's actors for its success. Here's your question. Which of these actors from The Lost Boys did not play a vampire? Was it A, Edward Herrmann? B, Corey Feldman? C, Alex Winter? Or D, Kiefer Sutherland?
Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman is, of course, correct. I'm glad you got that one correct, Mark, because Eddie is a personal friend of Corey Feldman, as we found out earlier, and would have easily got that one.
Right.
Here's your fun fact. When asked why he agreed to direct this film, Joel Schumacher has said, Vampires are hot. They're the only erotic monsters. Frankenstein is not hot. That's my terrible impression of Joel Schumacher. Fans of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and True Blood can thank this visionary. Okay, let's get our final scoring update from Robin to see who won this round. Robin?
Mark got his score up to 12, but Eddie has doubled that with 24 right now and the power. That being said, still ground that could be covered in dysfunctional family feuds, so we'll see what happens.
Eddie, you have the most points at the end of round two. Congratulations. You and I are going to take a secret trip to the prize vault where you're going to select the prize that the two of you will be playing for in the final round. While we do that, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
Magnum will return after these messages and station identification.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're enjoying the show so far, please consider giving us a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and subscribing for future episodes. The only way a show like this gets anywhere in the podcasting world is by positive reviews and word of mouth among friends. So, if you're inclined, please help spread the word about the podcast and share it with that special Gen Xer in your life. We'd love to have you as a friend of the show. Thanks so much!
So who's gonna save our generation? Are you gonna save our generation? Who will save Generation X?
We now return to the Flintstone Bunnies.
Okay, the prize has been selected, but before we start round three, now is the last chance to solve the power struggle question. To steal the power, score 20 points, and go first in round three. Remember, you need to name what the clip is from and in the correct order. Let's take our final listen to the power struggle. Then you need to give me your answers. Pay close attention to the second clip. It goes by really fast.
What the hell are you?
It's great to learn,
'cause knowledge is power.
Okay, Mark, you do not have the power, so you get to try and answer these. For 20 points and to steal the power, name them off, clips 1 through 5, letter rip.
Not a chance. Something that might have been from Miami Vice, possibly.
It's not from Miami Vice, no.
Oh, okay.
But it's
honestly, I really don't have a clue.
Give me 5 stupid answers then.
Berish DeBueller's Day Off 5 times.
Judges, I'm sorry. That is incorrect. Very close, but I'm sorry, incorrect. For funsies, Eddie, you got the answers?
I got some attempts at the answers. Okay. I've never seen War Games, but that's my guess for number one. That's what I thought. 2 was Fire Marshal Bill, I bet.
Number 2 was Fire Marshal Bill. You're right. Yeah. Pretty Living Color.
3 was 3 Pole Position, like the video game.
That right genre of game.
Yes,
it was Spy Hunter.
Spy Hunter, right? Right. 4 was Predator, right?
Predator. Correct.
5 was something educational, Schoolhouse Rock or one of those things. I don't remember.
Schoolhouse Rock. That's correct.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah. It was Schoolhouse Rocky. It was a song from Schoolhouse Rock.
Must be a later one.
I believe it's like 87, if I'm not.
Yeah.
I never saw Schoolhouse Rock.
Really?
Yeah.
Honest a Bill. Yes, I'm only a Bill. Like, I know that's.
Well, you were in Canada. They weren't making bills like they did in the United States and Canada.
I was only in Canada during the summers. I was American the rest of the year, you know.
So the first clip we didn't reveal, and that was Revenge of the Nerds. It was the talent show during the carnival. That's the song that they played with Poindexter on the violin. Yeah, it was Revenge of the Nerds, Fire Marshal Bill, Spy Hunter, Predator, and Schoolhouse Rock were the 5. That means, Eddie, you retain the power, and you get to go first in our final round. Speaking of which, let's play that right now.
Round 3.
Round 3 is a prize round called Dysfunctional Family Feud. In this final round, I will ask the same 5 survey questions, Family Feud style, to each player in turn, and they will need to respond with what they think are the most popular responses in the Gen X timeline, 70s, 80s, and early 90s. These are actual survey questions taken from actual people from Generation X that have been quizzed by the show via our newsletter. The player who has the power, that's you, Eddie, gets to go first, with player 2 unable to hear their responses. Player 2 will then have to give the responses to the same 5 survey questions and beat the other player's score without duplicating any of their answers. Whoever ends up with the most points wins the game and goes on to claim a chance at their prize that Eddie has selected. If you'd like to take part in Dysfunctional Family Feud surveys, sign up for our newsletter on our website, and it will include a spot for you to reply to upcoming surveys and get your answers on the show. Okay, let's play Dysfunctional Family Feud. Eddie, you have the power. You get to go first. That means we have to send Mark into the Phantom Zone. Okay,
your time will begin after I finish reading the first question.
Name the best father on a TV show in the 70s.
Mr. Cunningham.
Howard.
Howard.
Question 2. This one might be tough. Name a pony from the original My Little Pony toy set.
Pass.
Ain't no way Mark's going to get that one. Name a song with a man's name in the title.
I can't believe I can't think of anything with a man's name in the title.
Any song.
Alex Chilton. Alex Chilton, the replacement song, which no one's going to pick.
I think he's opened a window for Mark.
Yeah, probably.
Very kind of you. Question four. Name a female sports icon of Gen X.
Mary Lou Retton.
And finally, what was the best arcade game during the 80s?
Pac-Man.
Let's go back to the one you passed on. Name a pony from the original My Little Pony toy set.
Sunshine.
It's a decent stab. Let's bring Mark back in from the Phantom Zone. Okay, Mark. Eddie has left the window open for you to climb through and win this game. I'm not dogging on Eddie's answers. I'm just saying there's a lot of points left. Okay?
Yeah, man. You can totally do this.
You can do this. I'm going to ask you the same five survey questions I asked Eddie. If you duplicate any of his answers, you'll hear this sound. And I'll ask you for another answer.
Gotcha.
It's a little bit more difficult. So you get two passes. If you get stuck, say pass, and we'll come back to it. Here we go. You can do this. Your time will begin after I finish reading the first question. Name the best father on a TV show in the 70s.
Brady. The Brady father.
Brady father. Mike Brady.
Mike Brady, yes.
Name a pony from the original My Little Pony toy set.
Rocky.
Name a song with the man's name in the title.
The man's name in the title isn't so easy. Tom Sawyer.
Name a female sports icon of Generation X.
Jane Kennedy.
What was the best arcade game during the 1980s?
Galaga.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree with you, my friend. But we'll see what Gen X had to say about that. So those are our five questions. You didn't can use any passes, Mark. Do we pass?
Mark, can I? No. Can I get the fourth answer he gave? It cut out in my mic. For the
female sports icon of the 80s.
Let's go with Dorothy Hamill.
Change your answer, man.
Judges, are we going to let him change his answer?
I'm getting crushed.
The judges are going to allow it.
All right.
Let's go to the scores. I asked you, name the best father on a TV show in the 70s. Eddie, you gave us
Howard Cunningham, which was worth 21 points.
Well done. Mark, you said
Mike Brady, which was our number one answer, worth 35 points.
Well done.
So going into round three, Eddie had 24 points and Mark had 12. We're going to add that to your total for question one, which brings the score to Eddie with 45 and Mark with 47. So, Mark, you have a 2-point lead.
There you go. Well,
Mark, if the game was over right now, you would win.
Great, but it's not. Saying.
We get the information for our surveys from our listeners via our newsletter, and we get some interesting replies. So I'm going to give some of those honorable mentions to some of these entertaining answers. Honorable mention goes to George Jetson, Archie Bunker, and since we're Gen Xers, someone had to say Al Bundy, even though he was closer to scoring 4 touchdowns for Polk High School in the 70s and not being a dad on my TV.
How about Father Mulcahy?
How about him? Question two was, name a pony from the original My Little Pony toy set. We picked this question specifically for you guys. Eddie, you gave us
Sunshine, but you did not make the list. 0 points. Oh,
sorry.
I thought Sunshine might be on there. I kept scrolling. I was like, come on, but it wasn't there.
It's a good stab at it. Mark, you replied with
Rocky, also not on the list. 0 points. The number one answer was Applejack.
Of course, Applejack. Come on, guys. Right. Honorable mentions go to Pony Boy, Mr. Ed. My personal favorite was the Morrissey song, Tony the Pony. And the last two are the one with stars on its butt. And finally, of course, Brony. Question three, name a song with a man's name in the title. This one gave you guys both a lot of trouble.
Oh,
Eddie, you finally gave us
Alex Chilton, which was not on the list. 0 points.
Shocker.
Shocker, indeed. We have an upset in the making. Mark, you swooped in and gave us
Tom Sawyer, which also didn't make the list, and I think that's crazy.
Well, except Tom Sawyer is a boy, not a man. No, seriously. So that could be why.
No, that's fair.
I think I know what the number one answer should be.
Well, the number one answer was Jesse's Girl. Was that what you're going to say?
Oh, not
I meant number two. Number two should be Mickey.
You know what? I was looking at that when you guys were talking. Mickey was number four on the list.
Oh, wow. Two.
We had Jesse's Girl. We had Jack and Diane for two. The third one was Bad, Bad Leroy Brown.
Oh.
Then we had Mickey, then Daniel. And then under that, Major Tom. So, like, I don't agree with this list.
Robin's throwing a protest now.
I just feel like we don't get enough Rush love on this show, but you know, that's a conversation for another time.
So going back to question two, you guys both missed a golden opportunity because I have no idea was the number two answer for the ponies question. Lots to choose from for honorable mentions for this one, as you might expect, but we give shout outs to Enter Sandman, Mr. Roboto.
Oh,
What's the Frequency, Kenneth? The theme from Rocky 13 by Weird Al Yankovic. Who's Johnny? And finally, my favorite, Rock Me Amadeus.
There's also Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
There's that one too. Question four was, name a female sports icon of Gen X. Eddie, you gave us the great answer of
Mary Lou Retton, which was worth 13 points.
Well done. Mark, you said
Dorothy Hamill, which was worth 10 points.
Well done. Honorable mentions for this one is a vote for the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. For some reason, someone said Tommy Lasorda.
I hate Tommy Lasorda.
And last was the San Diego Chicken. And it all comes down to our final question. What was the best arcade game during the 80s? Eddie, you gave us
Pac-Man, worth 35 points. It's also our number one answer.
Oh,
nice. The score going into the final round is Eddie, 93. And Mark, you're currently sitting at 59. That means you need 32 points to win. But let's see, what did Gen X say?
Galaga.
Is it enough points?
Survey said.
Worth 20 points.
Ooh.
That means that's not enough. Congratulations, Eddie McIntosh. You have won the game, and you are doing your part to save Generation X. Well done.
Woo-hoo. Thank you.
Good job.
That was an ulcer giver at the end there, man. Mark with a wicked comeback.
Pac-Man was the number one answer, by the way.
But definitely not the number game.
Definitely not the number one game. Yeah. I spent my first honeymoon playing Galaga, Mark. We went on a cruise ship, and the first night of the honeymoon, I found that machine, and I went and played it. And I had the game of my life, and I spent probably an hour just playing Galaga. And my then wife was like, hey, we're on our honeymoon, and you're playing arcade games. But I scored over a million points of that game. I've never done it since. I had the game of my life, as I said. It's surprising to me that that marriage didn't quite work out. I don't know what went wrong.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Mark, that means things didn't quite go your way. But did you have a good time on the episode anyway?
I did. Yeah, it was a blast.
For winning the game, I offer a chance of a prize by me placing bids on my eBay watch list on the winner's behalf. I will place multiple bids on the listing chosen in secret by Eddie until I'm the high bidder. If that bid holds up until the end of the auction, then I will buy that item for the winner and have it shipped out to you. Good luck. Let's take a look at all the prizes that Eddie had to choose from and then reveal what was chosen. The first item in the prize vault is the world's most boring guitar pick. It is branded as an Aerosmith item, but it's just an all-white pick with a simple A printed on one side in Times New Roman font. This could be a eBay scam. I don't know. Next, we have a Cheez-It cracker, but it has all four squares of the cracker all fused together like it's the world's biggest Cheez-It or something. The listing reads, rare Cheez-It, four square, in parentheses, never eaten. So I think that kind of gives us some of the insight into the person that would list this on eBay. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what Marvel's Secret Wars would look like if the superhero characters were replaced with Care Bears? Well, wonder no longer with this Killer Care Bears Secret Wars Issue 1 comic book. I don't know the background of this comic, but it looks pretty rad. It has the all the superheroes as Care Bears, and I think it's pretty cool. Next, to honor Scooby-Doo, we offer these Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine football cleats. They are size 6 and used, but I can't believe that they smell any worse than the inside of the actual Mystery Machine. As is show tradition, we offer Garbage Pail Kids Mark Spark, showing a Garbage Pail Kid celebrating the 4th of July with an M80 up his butt. And there's also Evil Eddie, showing a Garbage Pail Kid dressed as Dracula having bad intentions for a Barbie doll. Next is a vintage Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back patch. It looked exactly like the one I had when I was 8 years old and joined the Star Wars fan club. I asked my mom to sew it on my blue members only jacket, and I wore that jacket all the time, even during the hottest days of summer. This thing is a treasure. To honor the Lost Boys in this episode, we have a Funko Pop minifigurine that is of David. He has this scowl on his face, and he has chopsticks in one hand, and he has a Chinese food box of rice as if he's offering Michael some maggots to eat. It is really sinister and looks pretty cool. And the last item in the prize vault is simply, this listing reads, a high five. The description is a virtual high five for a job well done. You deserve it. And we agree. You do deserve this item for winning the game and doing your part to save Generation X. If you pick this item, please be warned that it is a local pickup only. Eddie, please tell us what item you picked and why.
The David from the Lost Boys thing, even though I kind of mentioned not liking horror movies, the Lost Boys had a little something different. It also has changed the way I've eaten Chinese food forever now.
I think it's a good choice. It's definitely the coolest looking thing in the prize vault. Let's place a bid. Hey, we're the high bidder. We're the only bidder. At $4.99 plus $5.90 shipping. If this bid holds up until the end of the auction, I'll be happy to buy this for you and have it shipped out to you. Good luck.
How are those maggots? Maggots, Michael. You're eating maggots. How do they taste?
Hey, guys. Do you have any shout-outs or things you'd like to plug here on the show?
Sure. If you're ever in the Odenton area and want a tattoo, come see me at Naked Art Tattoos. My co-workers, Maddie, Ronnie, and the owner, Chris Lowe, my mentor. Everybody does great work there. And if you want to see some music afterwards, come see the Pepper Pot Bats, Baltimore's sexiest rockabilly band. And, of course, my wife, Elizabeth, for supporting me through all of the craziness that's led to living a life as a creative person. And, of course, to Mark for bringing up so many creative people with him in his own projects, you know, even including some of my music in his early seasons. So, and Mark was the one that had me here. So shout out to my brother, Mark Unger, as well.
Nice. We will have some links in the show notes to your projects. Thanks for being on the show, Eddie.
Thank you.
And Mark Unger, thank you so much for being on the show. What can you tell us about your project?
Well, hey, look, I think, you know, when I found this show, I knew I wanted to be a part of it because our show Thespian is so, you know, is so rich in the Gen X world. I mean, not that it's, you know, chock full of references, but it's about a guy who at the age of 50 decides to reinvent himself by going back to his roots as a serious actor. So if you want to watch a really funny, but also poignant, dramatic show, you can go to Amazon and find the first two seasons of Thespian, or you can go to YouTube/Thespian series, and you can watch all the episodes there for free. It's also on Tubi, some other platforms around the world, but I think you guys will really dig the show, and you should check out Thespian. And thank you to Eddie for being on the show with me, and for all the great music that he makes, and to you guys for listening, and Zabe, to you for having us on.
Wait a second. I could have watched these episodes for free and not had to buy them on Amazon. How come nobody told me this?
You had to buy them, but your listeners...
Oh, okay.
They can watch for free.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Listeners, please go and check out and support our fellow Gen Xers in their projects. Check out Thespian. I think you'll enjoy it. I know that I got pleasure from watching it. Mark is funny and talented, and I think you're going to get a good watch. I have one shout out to give. I'd like to give a shout out to Patreon supporter Sean from Hamtramck, Michigan. Thank you, Sean, for supporting the show for several months now. We appreciate you for helping us make our dreams come a little closer to a reality of making this podcast a full-time gig and bringing you episodes more frequently. Sean, here's a sound clip in your honor that we hope you especially like. Thank you for checking out the show. We know you have a vast ocean of choices for your podcasting enjoyment, and it is simply amazing that you chose to spend a little time on our show. Thank you. If you like what we're doing here and you'd like to contribute directly to the show, we have a Patreon account set up at patreon.com/whowillsavegenx. At our Patreon site, you'll see special offers for becoming a contributor to the show, so take advantage of those if you are interested. If you'd like, you can head over to whowillsavegenx.com and learn all about the ways you can do your part to save Gen X from being forgotten. But if you're feeling like a slacker at the moment, you can just email me, and I promise to write you back with all the details you want. You can reach me or any of the judges at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com. In either case, thanks so much for listening. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks again for checking out the show. We welcome you to share it with that special Gen Xer in your life and subscribing to the show for future episodes, where we will once again ask the question, who will save Generation X? Later.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.